Hello and welcome to the program. I'm your host, Neil Howard, here on Health Professional Radio, and I'm real glad that you could join us again. Going to be speaking with returning guest this evening, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's coming back to talk about some recently published information in the American Journal of Clinical Pathology that showed that about 59% of patients with COVID-19 are already vitamin D deficient when they're admitted into the hospital. So welcome back to Health Professional Radio, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Thanks for taking the time once again.
Neil, it's great to be with you and with their listeners, because we're going to teach them today that COVID-19, there's a lot that we can teach people to do on their own that will make a dramatic difference in both they're not getting the illness, as the illness being mild, and also for those with persistent symptoms, we're going to teach them how to make that persistent COVID go away.
What does vitamin D have to do with COVID-19 specifically?
There are several nutrients that are critical at balancing and optimizing immune function. Zinc and vitamin A in combination are likely the two most important, followed by vitamin D, which is a major orchestrator of immune function. And this is evident, and there are now over half a dozen large studies showing that very low vitamin D is routine in people with COVID, and the more severe the COVID, the lower the D, and the worse the outcomes. In this study, people were 3.8 times more likely, 380% more likely to die in the group that had the lower vitamin D. Now, Neil, there's a word of caution I need to give with this, because vitamin D acts as an acute phase reactant. Just like ferritin goes up with the said rate with inflammation, vitamin D levels can go down in certain inflammatory and infectious conditions. That's still being more fully elucidated. So it's not clear whether the vitamin D is low because the illness is more severe or the other way around. But either way, the strong recommendation is that people should be getting a vitamin D supplement. There's enough data now supporting it. Dr. Fauci himself takes vitamin D because of the COVID situation. And people should be getting 1,000 to 3,000 units of vitamin D daily. And for those in nursing homes, things like that, I would straight off the bat give them 25,000 units one day a week for 12 weeks to rebuild their vitamin D levels while the prospective studies are being developed.
So are you saying that bulking up on the vitamin D, or at least starting to take the daily recommended requirements of that supplement, will prevent COVID-19, or will it simply make it not as severe as it would be had you not had the vitamin D?
There's a very high probability that it'll both decrease risk of getting the virus and also make the virus much more mild and certainly less fatal. But we don't know for a certainty yet. But because vitamin D is so cheap and so safe, the current recommendation is that this should be given while we do the prospective studies to see if that's so. I would note that zinc, I have most of my people who I treat at first sign of COVID take 50 milligrams of zinc daily, because zinc is critical for thymulin function. That's the main regulatory hormone for the immune system. And the virus causes massive zinc depletion. So for everybody, I recommend about 15 to 20 milligrams a day of the zinc, but at first sign of symptoms, I will bump that up to 50 milligrams a day. That is even more likely. That's a more clear-cut cause and effect in terms of you take it. It protects you.
Are we talking about the same dosage in adults as in children simply because of the pandemic? I mean, we've all heard of the benefits of vitamin D and vitamin E and C our entire lives.
For children under the age of 12, I don't think any of this is necessary. I mean, a good multivitamin or a good healthy diet that's not sugar loaded is a good idea. But that population is at such low risk. Certainly, of course, there will be some episodes, especially in very severely ill children. Otherwise, they may have life-threatening or fatal COVID. But that's extraordinarily rare. So in that population, I'm not a pediatrician, and the need is really not there. But then in children over 12, they are okay with using the adult dosing.
Now, when it comes to some of the long-term effects of contracting COVID-19, we're hearing stories of people that are having some pretty significant symptoms well after they've been released from the hospital months down the line. Could that also be caused by this depletion of vitamin D and zinc and some of the other nutrients? Or could it be because you weren't getting those vitamins in the first place? You simply survived, and had you taken the vitamin D, you might not be having some of these long-term effects.
Well, it might prevent them, but we don't know. But the post-viral or post-COVID, what's called long hauler syndrome, mm-hmm. Where you have persistent symptoms even 3 months after the illness onset. CDC is showing that about half of people, even with mild cases, are still symptomatic at 3 weeks. Looking at the MERS and SARS viral infections earlier, looking much later, after 3 months and beyond, are looking at on the order of 30 to 40%. Basically, Dr. Fauci has noted that in most of these cases, it represents post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome. This is an area near and dear to my heart because I had post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome in 1975, and it actually knocked me out of medical school for a year and left me homeless. I've spent the last 35 years researching effective treatment for post-viral CFS. So the symptoms of tired, achy, brain fog, insomnia, those kind of things, those are basically chronic fatigue syndrome. And our double-blind, placebo-controlled published research has shown that 91% of people improve with an average 90% increase in quality of life. This is very, very treatable. The problem is lack of physician education because the treatments are low cost and nobody is paying to educate physicians about them. Other symptoms are coming from the pulmonary fibrosis things, like the cough and sometimes the shortness of breath. A pulse oximeter can make massive difference for people to use so they can distinguish when it's cardiac lung versus just anxiety or chronic fatigue syndrome or other causes of the breathlessness. But things that increase glutathione may speed the lung healing, and the research is showing that at 2 years out, this does heal up in most people. Just looking at the ARDS research, basically, that it's based on, this the pulmonary fibrosis recovers quite a bit over the 2 years. The cardiac issues, there's a lot that can be done to increase cardiac efficiency and function quite dramatically. Ribose, coenzyme Q10, magnesium, the kidney function is okay, B vitamins, acetyl L-carnitine. These markedly improve cardiac function. The brain fog, it's suspected that a good bit of this is from microglial activation. And a medication, naltrexone, which is used in drug addiction, a normal dose is 200 milligrams a day. Mm-hmm. But at 4 milligrams a night, after 2 months, it tends to reverse microglial activation. So most of these different things, and we've seen people who have had it, and again, with the protocol we just mentioned, their post-viral, post-COVID CFS has gone away. So again, very, very treatable.
Doctor, where can we get some more information about you and some of your publications as well online?
Well, the simplest thing, I think, is for people interested, the new fourth edition of my book, From Fatigued to Fantastic, by Penguin Avery, just came out. It goes through how to address, how to get rid of chronic fatigue syndrome, optimize energy, and the research in great detail. My website is vitality101.com. I will note that we just had a study accepted for publication at www.recoveryfactors.com. It's a nutritional supplement from Europe, and there was an average 69% improvement in overall quality of life and energy. And this included people with a post-COVID or post-viral CFS, I should say. So that's one of numerous treatments, the recovery factors. That can be very, very helpful in people healing from these processes.
And another good one is www.vitality101.com, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, always a pleasure speaking with you. I'm hoping that we'll speak again in the near future.
Likewise, Neil. And happy to help educate you again.
You've been listening to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard, in conversation with returning guest, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Audio copies of this program are available at hpr.fm and healthprofessionalradio.com.au. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, listen in, download at SoundCloud, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/healthprofessionalradio.